Your body is an ultimate high-performance machine, and Performance Lab Protein is the ultimate high-grade muscle fuel. This revolutionary plant-based formula has conquered the purity and taste issues that you get with most protein powders, and is clinically shown to be at least as effective as whey for increasing lean muscle mass. But again, don't take our word for it. Try it for 30 days, and if you're not blown away with a difference, you'll get your money back. Go to performancelab.com. Use discount code GENIRON10 to get 10% off. That's performancelab.com, discount code GENIRON and number 10.
Welcome to the Generation Iron Podcast, featuring the biggest names in bodybuilding, fitness, combat, and strength sports world.
If you want to be a bodybuilding champion, it takes hours and hours every day of being dedicated and being passionate about it.
How's your boy here, Kai Green, a.k.a. Mr. Getting It Done?
Yeah, buddy!
Tune in to the GI Exclusives on the Generation Iron Airwaves.
What's up, GI Nation? We're back with Generation Iron Podcast. Now, today's guest is very, very interesting. I remember finding out about him a few years ago when a picture popped up, and it was a chef in the kitchen somewhere, and he was huge. And then I found out that he was working in the White House as a chef, and then he became a viral sensation. Everybody started talking about him. Those pictures went viral. He started going on various talk shows, and he since became a big influencer in the fitness industry, and he's known to help a lot of people. He's doing a lot of things for charity, and I heard that he does over 2,000 push-ups a day, which is kind of crazy. But I want to find out more about that. And that's why today we're talking to Chef Rush. Chef, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. What about yourself?
Great, man. I was looking forward to talking to you.
As am I.
Yeah, I like your head, man. No, there's no magic pill.
There is not.
Yeah, right. What's the meaning of that?
So this is part of Arnold Schwarzenegger campaign with him and LeBron, the latter.
Supplement company, correct?
It's a supplement company, of course. Been a huge supporter. Of course, I've been a huge fan of Arnold for many, many years. Idol, and now to be interactive with him and actually get a hat from him, receive it, and then know the meaning behind it. There's no magic pills. And as you can kind of interpret it or derive it however you want, but it's just been incredible.
What is your relationship like with Arnold? Because I've seen you different events you attended with him, right? Whether it's kind of charity events, strongman competitions, like how did that relationship evolve? How did you meet him? You know, how did that actually build?
Hey, that's a funny story. Actually, Arnold reached out to me almost 2 years ago. Said he loved what I was doing. Said he had to meet me, and I'm gonna be honest with you, I kind of blew it off in my world. I mean, I work for a lot of different people and high-profile dignitaries, and I was like, okay. But literally the same day he called me, shook my world, and since then he has been like the ultimate support. He's actually driven me the way I have besides my mother and father, but he's actually impacted me so much on a charitable side and giving side. If you take away the bodybuilding, the politics, and the movies, I mean, he's, if you dig into him from his lifestyle and how he was raised and how he came up, how he came over here, it's just inspiring. So I give all respect to him, and I just love it.
Now, I want to talk about the origins of Chef Rush, because basically the way I found out about you, I think I'm pretty much like everybody else in the fitness industry. I think maybe a couple of years ago, it was a picture that surfaced. I think it was a dinner, some kind of Ramadan dinner, I think it was at the White House.
It was.
And it was you and a few other cooks, I think, in the kitchen, right? And then suddenly that picture went viral. And then like about a month later, you went all the talk shows, every news outlet covered you. And then like a few months later, you at every expo, you became this, you know, the man that you are today, basically. So how did that come out, and like, what are the origins of you? How did you make it to that level?
You know what, it's funny because I was always the person that was hidden. That's my job. I was in military. It's selfless service, integrity. I was a support system. I worked for so many high-powered people in so many different caveats that I'm not supposed to be seen. So that picture that you're referring to, it was funny because I hid from the photographers, and right before the president went into the press room, a photographer took a picture of me, went in, 15 minutes later came out, and she said to me, "I'm gonna make you famous." And I laughed at her, and I said, "I'm already famous." She's like, "No, look at your Twitter." "I don't have a Twitter." "Look at your Instagram." "I don't have an Instagram." "I don't have any of those things."
Right.
And long fast forward, you know, a couple years later, from that one picture, people say, oh, you got famous from a picture. No, I got famous from hard-ass work, right? Because you can take a picture of anybody, but then you got to be impactful in what you're doing with and how you're doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, selfless service and what was installed in me and an integrity from military parents and so forth. Of course, I'm a fitness guy. I'm a bad fitness guy. I'm a beast. I'm pretty humble with that part of it.
Right.
But from that picture, it's funny because I've had so many things from the natty to the this to the that, things I never even knew terminologies for. So I'm up to par right now.
Right. So how did you like the transition from being, you know, behind the scenes guy to being now on Instagram, on social media? Now you're a public figure, basically. How do you feel about that?
It is a very hard transition. Mm-hmm. If you put it in perspective for someone who's served in the military in high profile positions, mm-hmm. and has been leadership the whole entire lifetime and never thought about putting themselves first. And that was me. That still is me. Mm-hmm. Even now on my platform, I push everybody in front because it's not about Chef Rush. It's about the support system with the 2,222, about the kids, the spouses, the military, different countries. I've been featured in over 50 different countries, mm-hmm. all from a picture that's talking about suicide prevention, awareness. And I am honored. I'm not going to lie to you. I wouldn't trade it. Mm-hmm. Beforehand, I thought about it. And I said, this is my legacy that I'm going to leave, you know, regardless of the fact some people get lost in translation and life, transitioning over from the military to now. Right. Here, I'm here, and I'm here to stay.
Were you always cooking? Like, I know you had a military career before that, but were you always into cooking? Like, is it something that came into you at an early age?
Or? So, my mother started me cooking very young age, and it was a hobby. I used to have to sneak and cook. My dad, as soon as I could walk, he put me to work. I mean, hard work. My dad told me to go lift a truck and move it. I'm going to lift that truck and move it. Mm. And he did construction for the last 50 years before he retired. Mm. Recently, my mother and father passed within the last 6 months.
My condolences.
Thank you. But, you know, from there derived so much more from it. You know, it humbled me even more so, and it made me even stronger and more impactful in what I'm doing in my message to everyone. Yeah, it's been a wild ride.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I heard a few people in the fitness industry that preach you need to eat for function, like a racehorse. You know, eat the same thing every day, and that will keep you consistently in good shape. And you know, like a racehorse mentality. You ever heard about that?
I have.
And do you agree with that? Obviously, being a chef, I mean, what do you eat for purpose or for taste?
I eat both. I eat a lot. I'm probably a walking oxymoron. I'm not gonna lie to you. Some of my habits can be terrible. I'm sleeping 2 hours a day, wow. You know, doing my push-ups and the amount of time that I do them in. I'm probably at 1%er. I love to eat. There's so many different fats and so many different diets out, from veganism to vegetarians to fasting to intermediate. Mm-hmm. Guess what? If they work for you, they work for you. Mm-hmm. I eat a lot because I have to. That's just been my lifestyle. I mean, I can eat 10,000 calories a day. I can eat 4 whole chickens a day. People know that. I can eat when I'm a vegan. I can go vegan for a whole month, but I'll eat like a horse. So it's all perspective.
So is it true that you only do, like, as far as the workout goes, you only do push-ups, 2,222, right?
So I do 2,222 push-ups.
Every day?
Every day, except for Saturday and Sunday. I get up at 3:00 in the morning. I meditate. That's my secret. I have to meditate. Wow. And I learned my style of meditating for my push-ups, because my push-ups are for a reason and a cause, not a workout. I tell people push-ups are not my workout. It takes me 1 hour, 15 minutes. After that, I go with my day. My day is a very long day. I'm on the road 25 days out of the month. Wow. Sometimes I get to go to the gym. Sometimes I don't. I'm here in LA. Now I want to go to the gym, and now I want to get in shape. I'm not in shape right this moment. But when I get in shape, they'll know Chef Rush is in shape. But
so the push-up is not for workout?
No, that's not my workout.
So this is for, there's a meaning behind it, right?
There's a meaning. 2,222 is 22 a day. 22 vets commit suicide a day. Mm-hmm. I caveat with the 2,222, not only because of the vets, not only the military, but because of the spouses and also the kids, and also anyone else that may be having a problem. Mental health is huge in this country right now. Not only this country, every country. So it's a meaning behind all that.
So what do you think people, like, I mean, obviously, you're doing a lot on your end as far as prevention of the suicides, right? But what can a government do? I mean, obviously, it's a big issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, what
no, it's a huge issue. Speaking of it, it's over 42,000 nonprofits in this country today, and they're growing each and every day. And everyone thinks they know how to save the world, want to save the world,
right.
And that's fine if they can come together, you know, and kind of focus on some things and mm-hmm. and not turn it to themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? Or mm-hmm. lose their focus, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Need to be more attentive to each other. I think not only the government, it's us. We are the foundation. It starts with us in the household, as men, as women,
right.
as leaders, as caretakers, as providers, as bosses, as anything.
Right.
The thing about it is people don't understand is that you are that person. You don't go looking for the government to fix it. We need to fix it ourselves first.
Mm-hmm.
And then the government can caveat from it. Because
mm-hmm.
once they start taking those taxes and doing this mm-hmm. and that, you're going to complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring it down ourselves first and then work it from there. Now, don't get me wrong, the government does hold responsibility, as they should,
of course.
You know, but they should also vet a lot. They should vet a lot better as far as, you know, throwing out money, so to speak. So it's a lot of money that's given, a lot of money giving with very few results.
Interesting. Have you yourself battled depression or post-traumatic stress at all?
Yeah, I have. And I'll say that now easily. You asked me 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you would not have heard me say anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think I ever said on camera, but I was actually I was in an inpatient facility for 6 months. I was in another one for another 6 months. I was in an outpatient facility for a year.
Wow.
And it was terrible. And I was very, very disgruntled, and I was a lot bigger, and they were very, I wouldn't say the word intimidated, but they kept me pretty sedated.
Mm-hmm.
Depression.
They thought you were aggressive?
Well, was I aggressive?
They thought you were aggressive?
Yeah, of course. I mean, everybody thinks I'm aggressive. I walk up to you and say, hi, whoa, stop. It's just the nature of the beast. It's first impressions.
Right.
It is what it is. I mean, especially
right.
if you have a background in the military.
Right.
I mean, cooking is my hobby. It's not my military service. My service is to go to war, to do what I have to do, to protect, to serve, which
right.
I have in Iraq, Afghanistan,
right.
9/11, Pentagon. Anytime I need to, cooking is the back burner. I'm just really good with knives, but I'm also good with a weapon.
So I assume, right, that because of your posture, because of your size, people might think that you would never battle, a mental condition or depression of some sort, right? Because people think, well, he looks like he's a tough guy. You know what I'm saying? And that can be a big mistake.
No, that's it. But unfortunately, a lot of guys that are like me in the military or even in general, and I say the military, but the military is my foundation, but
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Me and big guys, if you go over and you saying, hey, I need help, people are gonna look at you and laugh at you.
Right.
Now, trust me, don't get me wrong when I say this. If it was a kid that went over and was crying about something, you're gonna pacify them.
Mm-hmm.
Me go over and start crying about something, they're gonna look at me like I'm crazy.
Right?
But if I get out and I tell people it's okay to be vulnerable, that look like me, that's big like me, the first time I went into a therapy session, I walked out with my head down. I walked past another guy going to the elevator. He looked at me and looked at him. I knew he was going because it's the only place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Got in the elevator, he turns around, runs back to me. He looks at me and he said, brother, if you're here, I know I need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
We hugged, you know, that's that embrace, that's that brotherhood
right.
that we all should have. Since then, I never looked down again.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have looked down then, but it's just a stigma. Sometimes you just
right.
think you're so tough all the time,
mm-hmm.
every time. So
mm-hmm.
with people, so the deal is about it is that I feed off of positivity 100%. I feed off of negativity 1,000 times more because there's always going to be more negative in the world than positive.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And people don't understand that. Well, I just want to surround myself with positive people. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to surround yourself 24/7 with positive. You're going to go outside. You're going to have to go to the store. Somebody's going to bonk at you or cut you out. Or they're going to do something.
Something will happen,
you're going to lose it.
Right. So how did you finally, what was the one thing, or was it a combination of things that actually made you get over the depression?
A combination of things. Family, life, myself. I was on. Oh my God, it's another whole subject. I was on probably the worst thing I could possibly do, and the best thing I could possibly do is
mm-hmm.
I was probably on about 50 different medications
mm-hmm.
at one time, and I'm talking about the kind that you would possibly think of.
Were they helpful, you think, or hurtful?
to each his own. Mm-hmm. For me, because I know my body, I know intact, I felt like a mummy, a zombie. I felt like
that's what I keep hearing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I felt like I wasn't controlling myself. And one day, out of the blue, I went on my bed. I put all my medication on my bed, and I threw them all away. Mm. Worst thing you possibly do, because I'm taking, you know, 50 plus pills or whatever, but you have to wean off of them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do that. And for the next 3-4 months, I suffered. After I suffered, there was a cloud that kind of lifted, mm-hmm. right? And it was like, okay, some clarity. Now it's like, okay, mm-hmm. now it's time to get to work. Now I felt what everybody else was saying. Now I need to be that person to advocate and say, okay, here's what we do. Even with my cooking, I did Cooking to Cope, where I got guys with PTSD or depression or whatever, and I taught them how to cook and take their families, their kids, and start cooking together. And it just brought a whole different perspective to that holistic type of medification.
Mm, that's very interesting. So what do you think is your purpose? I mean, obviously you work with a lot of different organizations now. You're involved in so many different things with the fitness industry, outside of the fitness industry, but what is the purpose of Chef Rush, you think? Why do you think you were discovered by the social media, and what do you think is kind of like your big purpose in the world?
Wow, that's a great question. My purpose is, I thought about that a lot. And I'm serving my purpose. My purpose is to give back. My purpose is to show so many different things. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, to each his own. Mm-hmm. I've never been an I person. It's never been just about me. It's about us, I'm a support system. Mm-hmm. So kids are my foundation. I love kids, point blank. Mm-hmm. They are the future. And then I take it to the spouses, which are the females, the ladies in this world, because mm-hmm. they're gonna have it harder always, all the time. No matter what position they hold, it's just that way. Mm-hmm. I wanna show people in the health and fitness industry, in the military, from cooking. I have a lot of different lanes, which I'm extremely grateful for and blessed for. And with those lanes, I utilize all of them. Since I've been here, Sincerity, I moved in here, I've gotten 5 calls already to go to Texas for mm-hmm. the shootings, to go talk to the kids, to go help dogs, you know what I mean? And it's mm-hmm. incredible that so many people will look at me, and I'm so honored and humbled. Be like, wow, these people really want me to come and talk to these kids, or want me to go represent these for this, or mm-hmm. talk to the Doctors Association with all these doctors who, of course, are smarter than me, but they love my message and love mm-hmm. what I stand for and mm-hmm. what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. To see that mindset of a person that can just give the all. So, that's mm-hmm. that's why I'm here.
Do you enjoy competitive bodybuilding as an observer, or you follow the sport?
I love it. Mm-hmm. I 100% love it. You know, of course, the strongman is this weekend. Mm-hmm. I'll be there. Everybody else needs to be there. And classic, you know, Mr. Olympia. Mm-hmm. To see those guys and their dedication mm-hmm. and motivation. Right. And people who don't understand it, they need to know. Matter of fact, they couldn't even understand it. Even myself, to put in perspective, mm-hmm. I could not understand to be that way 365 days out of a year, whatever, 6 months or 3 months right. or 4 months, for them to condition themselves and to come mm-hmm. out for that, just that 15 minutes of sacrifice on that stage,
right.
you know, and then have to repeat and do it all over again. Mm-hmm. To take their bodies to those types of levels is, mm-hmm. unthinkable.
What's more important to you personally, strength or the look? When it comes to fitness, do you?
I have both.
I do. But if you had to pick just strength or the way you look aesthetically, what direction would you lean into?
I'm gonna be honest. I'll be vain with it and say look. I mean, if you look the part, people are going to look at you and they're going to come to you and they say it. If you got 24-inch bicep thing, like, I want those. Look at you. You know what I'm saying, Vlad. Yeah. They look at you. Maybe. I mean, you could, even if you could pick up a house,
right.
you can't display it all the time. You got to wait for the camera to be on right, to pick up right. that house.
I hear you, man. So social media, some people say it's hurting fitness and bodybuilding. Some people say it's helping. They're hurting because, you know, you have so many different gurus and people that might be giving the wrong advice to the kids. On the flip side, you know, you have people that are able to create platforms and help other people and build businesses, whatever. What do you think?
I agree with 100%. It is a double edge. I mean, it can help, but that's on an individual person, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm not going to lie to you. It's a person like me. I'm a very... I'm a gentle giant, as people say, but I'm very aggressive, and I will intersect in a heartbeat. You know, someone came and said 2,000 push-ups doesn't save people's lives, and then that's when I jump in and say, this is the influencer saying that, and I'm saying, hey, if you walk with cancer, does it say stop cancer? If you pour water on someone's head, does it stop ALS? Don't try to use a platform just for you to get noticed. Right? Do it for the right reason. You know, don't say it's not a Santa Claus. If kids want to believe in Santa Claus, let them believe in Santa Claus. That's tooth fairy, so forth. Let them find out later on. Don't just...
Do you engage back and forth with the people that might be saying something negative to you on social media?
So, that's a touchy subject. I do when it comes down to it, because I have to. Normally, I don't, but the thing about it is, I have, my platform is probably about between the ages of 16 and 28, right? So, it's a young... demographics, and I talk about the kids. I talk about 10,000 kids a year, right? So they come and they look at me, and they think if people are bullying me, right? And I'm not saying like, why is Chef not saying anything? I'm very tactful with it. It's not an argument. It's a discussion, and I'll tell that. But now I'm in the block game. I block them completely. Don't come on my platform talking about it, bringing any type of negative energy or whatever. We don't have time for it. It's 2020.
What are your rules to social media? Do you have any kind of rules to social, like something you won't do, won't say, won't post? Do you have any rules when it comes to it?
I have plenty of rules. People ask me why I'm not advertising on social media. People come to me all the time about sponsorships or about this. I'm not that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not rich guy. I'm not that guy, but I'm not that guy because I have that integrity that's inside me because, like you said, I am a public figure, you know, and you have to look at it like such and not highlight things that is not representative for you. People call you a sellout for anything. It doesn't matter whether it be true or real or you have to explain it. But at the same time, you can't explain it to 100,000 people.
Do you ever hear comments about yourself? People just, you know, throw shade on you and say, oh, he's just, you know, steroids, juice head. Do you ever get stuff like that just because of your look?
24/7. And you know what? It is extremely comical to me. I laugh at it now. I was laughing at it then. You know, I've done Dave Palumbo, you know, Nick Stringent Power. He came out with the first thing when I even found out what Natty meant. I've done so many different shows. And I did a thing with the president and me, and it was just a news clipping. And it basically said it's official. President says the chef is all natural. And, and when I did that, it was me and the president. It was another female bodybuilder that was there. It went crazy. It went crazy. The thing is that I don't care if someone's taking it or not taking it. If they're a grown man and they want to do what they want to do, however they want to do it, that's their. I have plenty of friends I'm quite sure to do. I don't care if they are. I don't even justify it. It's never been my lifestyle. People don't understand that I came from a small place in Mississippi. I didn't even know what steroids were until recently, basically. I had no idea. Do I care what they are? To each his own. I laughed. Matter of fact, it was funny because on that post alone, I blocked maybe 500 people.
Wow.
Because I'm not there for numbers. I'm there for support. Now, if they said to me, hey, you know, you're not helping anybody, then call me out. If I'm not supporting anyone, call me out. But don't call me out on something that's just not. I'm not a competitor. Yeah, I'm not a competitor. I'm not doing any of that.
Of course. Well, actually, since we're on the subject, so Arnold Schwarzenegger made a comment. I think it was a year ago. He was on a panel somewhere at a press conference, and he said that he believes that professional bodybuilding should be tested for steroids. And then obviously the reactions were very mixed after he made that statement. How do you feel about that statement from Arnold?
How do I feel about it personally?
Do you agree with that or no?
Well, you know, I don't know the industry like that. When they say tested, you know, I know they have the natural and they have, and I don't know the world.
They do have natural federations, you're right.
They do have natural federations. But I don't know that world if you have to take stuff to get, like people look at me, I'm 265 pounds and they're like, you know, you're on gear. And I'm like, no, I'm not. They're like, there's no way you can achieve that size and this so forth without being on gear.
Right.
Hey, I'm a, guess what? Here's what happened. So I don't know how it works that way. I don't understand it. You know, I know they just brought back the female bodybuilders. You know, they were banned. Yeah. You know, yeah. That just happened, you know, with Dan Solomon up in Mr. Olympia.
Right.
So I don't know how that world actually works to even comment on that.
Mm. What do you think about the Game Changers documentary? I don't know if you saw it or not, but basically the vegan diet. As a chef, have you tried it? Do you think it's healthier for humans to be vegan?
So I cook vegan, veganism. I'm all into that. The first thing I did with one of the TV shows was vegan meals, and I'm great at it. again, to each its own. Me personally, I eat a lot, you know, for that protein intake, and then you got to think about your medical needs, whether you be iron deficiency, and it's so many different factors, just like with diets.
Right.
So people, I mean, I could sell you ice in Alaska if I tell you long enough, you know. I don't know. I have nothing against veganism. I love the whole idea of it. I love plant-based because that's what we grew up off of. Mm. I'm from Mississippi, and that's basically where we're at because we're poor. You know, if we got a little piece of meat, we were lucky. But I eat vegetables my whole entire life. Now I'll eat meat with a slew of vegetables as well.
Would you ever switch to be completely vegan, you think, or it's not for you?
You know what? I'm thinking about it.
Really?
I'm thinking about it. I want to see, and not because everybody else is going to it, not even because Arnold's 100% vegan now.
So that's actually a fact.
Wow. It's actually a fact. He's 100% vegan now. And people don't understand that you can shock your body. And you know that. Shocking your body, some people accept it, some people may even thrive off of it. I talked to a guy last night at the gym. He said once he switched to it, he got more energy. Mm-hmm. So it's to each his own.
I keep hearing the same thing, you get more energy if you switch. But it becomes complex because you have to keep it up, and then some people just don't have enough patience for that. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, so let's talk about bodybuilding and some industry questions that I have for you. So Brandon Curry became the new Mr. Olympia. He's a great guy, you know, obviously, you know, but it was a situation where after he won, you know, some people, Ronnie Coleman, Dorian Yates, started saying that, you know, I don't know why they started talking about it, because maybe they'd be being asked or whatever, but they said that in their era, he would not even be able to place top five or top six. What do you think about these statements? And, you know, as a bodybuilding enthusiast, you know, would you agree or disagree?
So I'm going to say this on a personal note, because I was at Mr. Olympia and I was with Brandon and William Bonack, and Brandon's incredible. Mm-hmm. Wonderful representative, family man, even second William Bonack. Great guys. Guess what? We're not in that era. I mean, how can you compare apples to oranges? Mm-hmm. It didn't happen. That was back then. This is now. I mean, get a man due credit. He did it. He won it. The same way anything else happened. You know, I mean, if that's the case, it was even for the presidency. You know, if it was back then, Trump would not have won. Now it is. It doesn't matter. He won. He has a title. And get over it.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Do you think competitive bodybuilding, do you think it's progressing forward, meaning that the physiques are getting better? Or do you think the golden era was in the 90s, let's say, right? And that was... Or whatever they say is the best era, but what do you, in
those
your opinion?
Those golden eras, I got to give it up. Those are those classic, those wonderful physiques. And sometimes it seems like it's getting a little twisted because everybody wants to be as big as they possibly can be.
Right.
And just kind of taken away from it, just that whole symmetry and just... And it's feeding off the rest of the generation, the younger guys who's looking. Everybody else wants to be as big as possible now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not knowing the medical.
What about you? You don't want?
I'm sorry.
You also like to be big, all
right?
I mean,
big. Well, I'm. You know what? I'm small right now. I'm 30 pounds lighter.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
All right, cool.
But guess what? In another couple months, I'm gonna get back big.
You're gonna be huge.
I'll be huge. Yeah, I'll be huge. I'll be 300 pounds. And you know what? And that'll be okay for me,
right,
just because that's my demeanor. But I know how to control my body. Mm-hmm. The difference between a lot of people is they understand is that you won't see me taking a million supplements trying to get that size. You have to know your body first. Mm-hmm. Have your body talk to you and understand your body before you just jump into things. Mm-hmm. Because your joints, your hearts, your organs, you need to know knowledge is power.
Right. How do you feel about, I mean, there's a lot of divisions in bodybuilding right now. There's men's physique, people make fun of it all the time, right? There's classic, there's so many different divisions, almost like for every body type, there's a division. Do you think that's good, bad? How do you feel about it?
I think they're giving something to everyone. Some people can't achieve that Mr. Olympia, that achieve certain body types or body goals. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think it's being very courteous for them to give different types to different people who mm-hmm. wants to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of like an inspiration, because you could be looking at kids or even the females or ladies, girls, whoever, that look at that and they get inspired by it and say, oh, you know what? I can do that. Let me try for that. Instead of just shunning that whole platform.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about competing on an amateur level?
I have, actually. People have said it.
You thought about it, or you competed?
No, I've thought about it. I graced in Anaheim and got inducted to the Dumbbell Club for bodybuilding.
Right, because of
my advocacy for the industry, which mm-hmm. I'm huge on health and fitness, mm-hmm. and I do know it. And if you ever worked out with me, you understand why I'm a beast in the gym. I actually thought about it this year. I said, if I start off, and that's one of the reasons why I came to LA, so I can stop moving around. And like I said, I travel so much, 25 right. days out of a month, mm-hmm. and now I want to work out and work on me. Not the push-ups, because push-ups are given. You know, I'll mm-hmm. caveat that with a lot more things. Mm-hmm.
Do you think bodybuilding, and also I guess the strongman, let's say, right, do you think, or powerlifters, do you think that can ever become a mainstream sports, like bodybuilding and powerlifting and strongman?
Man, that's a big question. I love powerlifting. My combination is kind of like in between powerlifting and bodybuilding mm-hmm. and endurance. and I look at the ratio, it is a lot of powerlifters, but it's enough supported. I'm a business person, monetarily, you know, marketing platforms is enough to go worldwide with it, to mm-hmm. be on that same level.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you a question that's kind of controversial, right? So you're a fan of powerlifting, obviously, right? So how do you feel about transgender powerlifters? So men that transgender into becoming women, now they go into competitions and they're placing very high, right? That creates, obviously, a debate whether they should be allowed to do it or not.
It's funny, I had this conversation yesterday, mm-hmm. and it was in a retrospect of track athletes, and also the first one of the tennis players who did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, it can be a disadvantage, and that's what people are saying. I don't know, because I don't know how, when they say does a test or however it goes, or they still have the muscle mass. I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand
right,
it.
Right, right.
But people would clearly say that there's a huge advantage to the transitions.
Right. So, but you don't have enough facts, I guess.
I don't have enough facts to go along with it. I mean, if they could actually test it, and I don't know if they have or not, if they could put the females and then the ones who transition and do kind of like a mm-hmm. strength test or show muscle density or definition or whatever, then mm-hmm. yeah, you have clinical evidence.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, because I feel like this issue will become bigger, in a couple of years.
Oh, it will.
This, it will happen a lot more.
It's going to.
And I guess then it will become real decision-making process, right, by the organizations, what they're going to be, what's going to be allowed, what's not going to be allowed.
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. It's just going to progress.
Yeah. So tell me something. I mean, every time I see a picture of you at the expo, right, you always look bigger than everybody else in the photo. Is that a technique you do for out angling people, or is it just something?
No, that's just me. If they slipping, they slipping. You need to be working out.
Yeah.
No. I go and take that when I go and take pictures, which I take a lot of pictures
all the
time.
Yeah.
I like to take my pictures and get my good size and so forth. But it doesn't matter who I'm taking it with. I'll still do my thing.
I mean, you're bigger than Mr. Olympia. You're bigger than all the strongmen. All right. So a couple more questions. So. I want to talk to you about, it's always an interesting question, but alcohol consumption and bodybuilding. Do the two kind of contradict each other? Because I know you enjoy wine sometimes. I've seen you post about that. You work with, I think, a wine company. Does it ever one interfere with each other, or you think it's going to be healthy amounts you can drink as a bodybuilder?
So the wine thing, alcohol thing is, I'm a sommelier. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm also, if you see, I have plenty of wine, about 1,500 bottles of wine, and
wow.
I cook with wine, I drink wine, and mm-hmm. I educate people on wine and regions, whatnot. Now, in some perspectives, wine is good. Some perspectives, mm-hmm. if you're doing white, it can be sugar, it can be bad for you,
right.
And it's always going to be in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
So, in some cases, people, the bodybuilders will drink some wine to fill them up, you mm-hmm. know, make them pop, you know, make muscles, they get it in, and it's like all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. They got that jolt of energy, and they got that their veins and everything, their body's responding to it. Mm-hmm. Now, overindulging? No, you can't do it. But, I mean...
Not even once in a while?
If you're going to call it a cheat day or a cheat wine day. If you saw my pod with Mark Bell, we did a wine pairing and working out. We worked out. We did about 7 different wines.
As you were working out, you were drinking?
Yeah, I did 2,000. Well, we did a lot, but at the end of it, I did a chest, a squat, whatever, and we paired them with wine.
Wow, that's crazy. Yes. So what happened at the end?
We were high. Because we already did 700 reps, 800, 900 reps, right. And we didn't eat, and as soon as we take a sip of that wine, it was just for fun. Right. But you know, it was like putting those things together, just interesting.
For sure. Last question, Chef Rush. So what is next for you? I mean, you know, you're becoming established in the fitness industry. You're doing your thing with the kids all the time. You're doing a lot of charity work. What's the next big move?
I'm going to still do what I'm doing regardless. I get calls all the time and people need support, and I'm the person that's going to support them or put them in the right direction. TV shows. My book is coming out this year.
You have a book coming out?
I do have a book coming out.
Is it autobiographical?
It's going to be an auto, and then I have also a cookbook. It's going to be kind of mixed in.
Wow, okay.
So it'll be a couple different things that I would talk about all my passions and whatnot, and even some secrets of things that happened in the past and in the future. I'm just going to be doing my thing on social media, and anybody needs me, I'm still here.
Visit GenerationIron.com for even more GI exclusive content on all things bodybuilding, fitness, combat, and strength sports. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this show on Apple Podcasts or wherever podcasts are downloaded.
Your body is an ultimate high performance machine, and Performance Lab Protein is the ultimate high grade muscle fuel. This revolutionary plant-based formula has conquered the purity and taste issues that you get with most protein powders, and is clinically shown to be at least as effective as whey for increasing lean muscle mass. But again, don't take our word for it. Try it for 30 days, and if you're not blown away with a difference, you'll get your money back. Go to performancelab.com, use discount code GENIRON10 to get 10% off. That's performancelab.com, discount code GENIRON10. And number 10.